black in the U.S. is scary and stressful, according to our guest columnist, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's James Causey. And we will talk with him about the fatal police officer-involved shootings of two black men in Louisiana and Minnesota, the sniper shootings that killed five police officers in Dallas and injured others. And we will talk about the continued Black Lives demonstrations since then. Hundreds of people are taking to the streets in cities across the country. Others are counter-protesting, saying blue lives matter. We will wonder this hour if there is common ground and wonder if you can support the police and oppose the excessive use of force that is, some say, unequally applied to people of color. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 12th. I'll figure out the date. Our guest is James E. Causey, columnist and blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His latest piece is Being Black in America is Stressful and Donald Trump is Right, We Do Have a Race Problem. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Well, following the deaths of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philandro Castile in Minnesota, you wrote the piece, Being Black in America is Stressful. This was before Dallas. Walk us through that piece. So why did you say it was so scary and stressful being black in America?
I mean, first of all, the main reason I wrote the piece is because they were so public. They were caught on social media. Or shared on social media. The first shooting of in Baton Rouge showed two officers on top of a black man, appeared to have him subdued. And next thing you know, you hear these shots fired going into this black man, and you see this blood coming out of his chest. You actually see him dying on camera. His arm comes up slowly and starts to shake. And he dies. Before you're able to absorb this, the very next day in Minnesota, a man is shot and killed in his car by an officer whose girlfriend captures this incident on film. She doesn't capture the shooting, but she captures the aftermath, where she calmly describes what happened with the officer firing four shots into her and to her boyfriend, while she said he was reaching for his wallet to show his ID, and the officer told the officer that he carried that he concealed carry, and this officer fired into her. What was touching about that is how brave she was and calm she was in describing what happened, and we see him dying, but we also hear her daughter, who was in a car at the time, trying to comfort her mom during this incident. And if those two things didn't rip at you and rip at your chest, then you don't have much sympathy inside you. So after all of this happened, I said at the end of my piece, unless we do something, unless this kind of these actions stop, something bad is going to happen. And within less than 24 hours, we have this shooting in Dallas where this gunman opens fire at a Black Lives Matter rally, targeting white officers, trying to get revenge. So, I mean, we're in a circle right now. Nobody's listening to anyone, and this violence appears to be escalating. And unless we come up with real solutions and unless we really sit down and talk and come up with a plan, then things are going to get worse before they get better.
Yeah. I thought the same thing, James, when I read your piece. I thought, oh, my goodness. You said if something doesn't happen to change the situation, something terrible is going to happen, and something terrible did happen. So You say that not many African Americans are willing to say that it is scary being black in this country. What's behind that?
Well, I think what I was trying to show is that, you know, as African American men, we're taught to be brave and strong and fearless. But honestly, I mean, when I drive home every day from work, facing traffic that where people are blowing through red lights and driving reckless, and, you know, and just getting home is stressful. First of all, work is a little stressful, and then trying to get home is even more stressful than your work day. But then, you know, in some neighborhoods, you hear gunshots almost every night. And then, so you not only have to worry about that's a stressor of hearing these gunshots. And then, you know, the seeing what we recently saw on the news with these two men being killed by cops, that adds another level of stress, because I've been stopped by the police a lot for a number of reasons, from having my license plate blocked by snow, and it was a blizzard that day, to, you know, driving because I have tint on my car, which my car was like 12 or 13 years old at the time, and they said my tint was too dark. So I've been stopped for a variety of reasons. Never given a ticket, but just stopped. And so I sort of know what the drill is, you know, keep your hands visible at all times, have your driver's license out, and by the time they get to your car, not making any sudden moves, turning down your music, just being extremely polite. But, you know, going through all these steps, that's a stressor, because you don't want to make them feel any nervous than what they probably already feel walking up to your car. And I'm a big black man with dreadlocks, so I know that poses a fear to a lot of people anyway. So, I mean, it's just a lot right now. And mental illness is a key issue in all of this, because unless you diagnose people with stressors, the stress sometimes spirals out of control. And this goes on both ends. It goes for the police, who have to deal with stress on a daily basis, and they have to be right all the time. And it deals with the public, who they have the most contact with, who deals with stress 24/7. So when you have two sides dealing with highly stressful situations, and there's no mental health component to help de-escalate these problems, then you're going to have the situation that we just had.
So what kind of response did you expect from this piece?
Do you mean what kind of response did I expect, or what kind did I get?
Well, what kind did you get?
Because I got what I expected to get. I got a ton of responses, hundreds of emails, a lot from white people telling me that I was un-American for writing that piece, that I was part of the problem for preaching this mess, and that one guy even told me, or several people told me, I shouldn't say one guy, that if I wanted to go back to Africa, he would pay for me to have a one-way ticket there, especially if I took a bunch of thug ends with me. So that's the kind of response I got. And when people say we don't have a race problem in this country, I challenge them to take the calls, the emails, and the things that I receive on a weekly basis, and letters. And they would see that, oh, this seemed just like the 60s, 50s, and 40s, because I'm dealing with a whole lot of people who hate a whole lot of black people in this country.
Thus your latest piece, Donald Trump's Right, We Do Have a Race Problem.
Right. Yeah. In that piece, which is up right now on jsonline.com, what I was, you know, I understand what President Barack Obama is doing. He's trying to de-escalate what is a very stressful time in this country. I mean, we just had two bailiffs killed in a confrontation in the courthouse, too, yesterday. So there's a lot of violence going on out there. There's a lot of officers feel like they're targeted, and African Americans feel like they're being targeted as well, which probably both are true. For the sake of argument, let's say both are true. So Barack Obama, as the leader of this free world, is basically saying, no, things aren't as bad as they appear. We do need to talk, but things aren't that bad. Well, I don't agree with Donald Trump on a lot of things, but I do agree with him when he says, no, this is bad and we have a problem. Unless we deal with it, things will get worse. I love President Barack Obama, but I think he's been a little lax on the issue of race in this country. He has not addressed it head on like he should have. And in his final month in office, I would like for him to take a more aggressive stand on what's really at the core of race in this country. And he just refuses to do it. And I don't know why he's tiptoeing around the issue when he should just say what it really is.
Let me jump in because we'll check news and then we'll talk about what you want to hear him say after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about how racial divisions have worsened in the U.S. Our guest is James Causey, a columnist and blogger with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James wrote a couple of pieces based on the shootings of two black men in Minnesota and Louisiana last week, and the shootings of police officers in Dallas. His latest pieces are Being Black in America is Stressful and Donald Trump's Right, We Do Have a Race Problem. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. James, I do want to talk to you about President Obama and how he's handling all this. But since I just forward promoted that this afternoon, we're hearing from a state lawmaker, a state representative, who's going to introduce a bill in the state legislature making targeting law enforcement officers in Wisconsin a hate crime. Well, what's your reaction to that?
I'm sure that bill will pass. I mean, can you imagine anyone voting against that bill, how they would be deemed? They would be deemed anti-police, anti-American, anti-you name it. I don't really know if a bill like that is necessary. Usually if you target a cop, you're going to be killed. Or if you do live to tell about it, you never, ever get out of prison. I mean, instead of like 200 years behind bars, you're going to give someone 500 years behind bars? I mean, I don't know if the bill is necessary. I'm one of the kind of people who believe that, you know, police sign up for a very dangerous job. They know the job that they sign up for, and they want to go home every night just like me and you. But and I don't know if a bill like this will all of a sudden make people think twice about targeting officers. If they're going to target an officer like this guy did in Dallas, I don't think a bill like this would do anything to stop him.
Yeah. Well, President Obama is traveling to Dallas today. He will memorialize the police officers killed in that sniper attack. He has been accused of not sufficiently showing his support of law enforcement, yet He does address that policing is a tough job and a critical profession, and police officers deserve to go home at night after their shift is done too. But he does point out racial disparities in law enforcement. Talk some, James, about why you say what is it you want to hear him say today?
What I want him to say is that every single time a black person, a black man is killed by police in this country, like 99% of the time or more, the officer is considered in the right. And we, you know, just based on what we see on video, I mean, we know that officers are not right all the time. But they never seem to be punished. And when people bring up this, what about blacks killing blacks? Well, whites kill whites. Asians kill Asians, blacks kill blacks, homicides and shootings and robberies, crimes committed on people that look like you occur because we live in, even though this is a free country, this is also one of the most hyper-segregated places in the world. So you inflict crime based on proximity. So usually the person that you inflicting crime on looks just like you. So this blacks kill blacks, well, yeah, you know, nobody wants to kill anyone. But when it comes to officers, when black people kill black people, they go to jail. They go to prison. When white people kill white people, they go to prison. When cops kill people during traffic stops or broken taillights and things like that, they don't go to prison. Sometimes they don't even get fined. Or sometimes they're not even really punished. Maybe they get a blip in their record, but hardly ever do you hear of an officer doing time for making what they like the term a mistake. Well, mistake is causing people's lives, and that's just not right. And that's what I would like to hear Obama say is, like, maybe we need a citizens review board so they could be a part of the process, because it's obvious that the citizens don't feel a part of the process. So maybe there needs to be citizens review boards across the country where citizens have some type of input on these reviews, because cops are really pretty much reviewed by cops. And the system of policing is not broken, but the system where police are the policers are police is broken. And that just doesn't make sense to me. That would be like if I got in trouble at work, and my colleagues, if they like me, most of them I think do, would judge my fate. and I committed a terrible crime against the public, and my colleagues judge my fate. Well, that I think that would sit, that wouldn't sit right with a lot of people. And that's what we have right now with police shootings, and that's why that system is not working correctly.
Well, we have a lot of callers waiting, so let's go to the phones. Nate in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Nate.
Hello, good morning. I totally agree with your caller, because I'm an African-American. I've been in a lot of different racial situations where the police have been totally racist towards me, other people, just in society itself. But there's a few things that go on in the black community that I do not agree with. And one thing that I don't agree with is I don't agree with Black Lives Matter. And I don't agree with that for two reasons. One reason is the statement is only because we're angry. The second reason is, where is Black Lives Matter when the 9-year-old girl gets shot at home, sitting there watching TV, and somebody decides to just pull up and let off 40 rounds? Where is Black Lives Matter then? Where are they at when we got 140 homicides that are black people that are killed by black people? Another thing that I don't agree with is I don't agree with Blue Lives Matter, because Blue Lives Matter is just a response to Black Lives Matter. In reality, all lives matter. When Martin Luther King and those people back in those days fought for civil rights, imagine how many times they actually thought about going to get guns and killing a bunch of people, but they didn't. They marched down there and they stood their ground and they fought with words, and it was a lot of things that happened that we don't agree with back then, but they made their point across and they got things to happen. And that's the same way that us as black people have to fight the fight that we're trying to fight. Racism has been a problem in this world for a long time, a very long time. And killing police officers is not the answer. That's wrong. You know, this is not eye for an eye. This is not two for two. You know, that's only going to make the problem worse. You know, we got people that's advocating for laws that actually help black people. We need to be patient. You know, take our evidence to the people that make the law. You know, get a million, two, three million black people together in a peaceful protest at the places where it matters. Marching down the street, ain't nobody listening. They're not caring. You know, we need to go straight to the people that make the laws. You know, start sitting down, negotiating things, showing them our problem, because it's not going to go away. It's been there for years. Killing police officers is only going to make it worse. We take one step forward, 10 steps back. And in reality, I'm almost more scared of my own people than I am the police department.
Hold on, Nate. I guess it should be noted first and foremost, James Causey, that Black Lives Matter, the demonstration in Dallas, the group had nothing to do with, the sniper was not a part of the Black Lives Matter movement.
No, he wasn't. And another thing, the caller said he doesn't agree with the Black Lives Matter campaign. Well, during the Civil Rights Movement, a lot of African Americans didn't agree with the Civil Rights Movement either. And the reason that Black Lives Matter, the movement, exists is because it was filling a void that where people were not being heard. When blacks kill blacks, people go to jail. So, for you to say that, you know, well, where's Black Lives Matter when this kid gets killed or when someone gets shot? Well, we have a justice system that appears to be working because we have one of the highest black male incarceration rates in the country right here in Milwaukee. So, I mean, to say that, you know, where's Black Lives Matter there? Well, the system is working. They're locking up people who are committing crimes and doing bad things. Black Lives Matter was formed because police killing black men, as we've seen in these last two cases, often don't get charged, fined, or anything. So Black Lives Matter was there to fill that gap because there appears to be a broken system. That's what a movement is.
What about Nate saying, you know, don't protest in the streets or block traffic, bring the grievances to the policymakers and change the law?
Well, the Democrats and people have been bringing these issues to the table for years, and nothing appears to be getting done. I mean, you have to have the votes in order to change things. And right now, the Dems don't have the votes to get a lot of legislation passed and a lot of things done. You can hear cases all you want. You can hear bills all you want. But if you don't have the votes, nothing will occur. So you need movements to keep these issues in the limelight. You need these movements, and you need to cause disruption so people don't forget, so it doesn't become second nature to people. So, yeah, when things bad happen, you need to protest. You know, I'm not the biggest person to get out there and protest. I hardly ever get out there and march for things. But I do understand the movement, and I do understand what they're trying to do. What I don't like is how certain people have tried to label this movement as a anti-cop movement, as a racist movement, because Black Lives Matter, if you look at most of the people marching, it's made up of all different colors, ages, creeds, genders, and everything. So to me, this is one of the most diverse groups out there right now. So you could be pro police and pro law enforcement, and also be a part of the Black Lives Matter movement. I am, you know. I know we need police in order to get things done. But at the same time, when I call police, I want to know that they're going to show up and take care of the situation. But honestly, I would love it if I had the power in my neighborhood to rectify a situation before I even had to call police. But in some neighborhoods, they're so disenfranchised that the people who live in those neighborhoods don't have the power to rectify situations themselves. And that's where law enforcement comes in. You don't want to have to call a hammer in to do a job when it could have been solved with a feather. But when police often come to our neighborhoods, they're going to bring the hammer. Because you call in and say, there's a man out here beating up on his wife, and he has a gun. Well, the police aren't going to come just to talk. They're going to come to rectify the situation. It would be nice if we had neighborhoods strong enough where if a man was beating up on his wife or someone causing ruckus, that a bunch of neighbors could get together and rectify that problem themselves before the police even got involved. That's just my opinion.
Nate, thank you for the call. Next, we go to Sheree in Waupun. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. And I want to echo what your guest just mentioned, because it bothers me because it feels like Fox News has labeled Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization. And that's really quite unfair. What the guest just said was absolutely right. And it's not that we don't think cop lives matter. We need the police in order to get our agenda taken care of. But, you know, it's it be, it's about a devaluation of our word. We've been saying for years that things like this have happened, and now that we are actually able to document it, it used to take five black people to testify against one white person, and everybody better be consistent, because if they're not, the word doesn't mean the same. And now that we have proof and we bring it to the forefront, we're still not getting results. So when I heard the previous call say, be patient, there's been patience for years. And now that there can't be denial, it's still not being resolved. And that's why we have this frustration. But I support my police. I know police. I've worked with the police in my area. I've walked the neighborhoods with him. I support my police, but I support my black men. I want my son to be safe, period. And those two are congruent with each other. And until we talk to each other and not at each other, it's hard to resolve this.
So it is possible to be both Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, James.
Yes. I mean, I've said that all along. But there's some media organizations out there who want to paint pit one against the other, and that increases the division. When if both sides aren't working together, like I said, these same situations would continue, and I think even we'll see them with even more frequency.
Sheree, thank you very much for the call. Chad in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Chad.
Yeah, hi. Say, you know, in my opinion, I'm a 30-year-old white male, and I was really for the Black Lives Matter movement when it initially started and after the verdicts came out. And whether or not the police was found guilty or innocent, that's when I feel it was time to protest. But now it seems like it's happening before verdicts are out. And, you know, you only see half of the picture. You know, if a cop is rolling up on a car and they're a suspect in a burglary and a robbery, and we don't know what was said before. If a person's got a gun and the cop's screaming at them, put your hands up, and they go for their gun, whether or not it was intentional, that cop's got 1 second to react. And it's either, you know, in a lot of instances, it's his life or the person's life. And, you know, that was the Minneapolis one. The other one where the two cops were...
Yeah, let me jump in, Chad, because I get what you're saying. We don't know the full story. The investigation has not happened in either of these cases, and we don't see all of it on video. James, it's not fair to protest the police actions when we don't know all the facts.
Well, I disagree with that, because if we see 10-second clips of a bank robber, and we don't know all the circumstances. We see 5-second clips of a person pushing someone down, and then they're all of a sudden they label this person a suspect or a person that we're looking for, and we don't know all the circumstances. So we see cops doing something, killing someone, and then we say, oh, wait a second. All the information is not here, folks. Just wait and see. I mean, why do we do that with police, but we don't do that with anyone else? I mean, I just don't understand. You never know what all the information is unless you see it from the very, very beginning to the very, very end. And very rarely do we have all the information. But as people, we make judges. By you saying that, you know, well, we don't know all, people should wait before they start protesting, you're making a judgment right there. So all these videos, the extra video to me just adds more why it should add more clarity. It seems like when it comes to police, it adds more confusion. That's why I was never a big fan of the police videos and stuff like that they have on their helmets and that they have on their chest, body cams, because to me, it just gives them more leeway to wiggle out of what actually happened if it goes bad for them. You know, because, you know, even though you see the video and you see for your eyes, as we saw with Rodney King, people will tell you, that's not actually what you saw. What you didn't see was X, Y, and Z. And
I have to jump in, James, because we again have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with James Causey, columnist and blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest, James E. Causey, columnist and blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His latest pieces are Being Black in America is Stressful and Donald Trump's Right. We do have a race problem, and we are talking with him about racial tensions in this country now following the shootings of two black men in Minnesota and Louisiana by white police officers, and the sniper mass shootings of police officers in Dallas and the ensuing demonstrations. So what do you think is going on? What do you think needs to happen? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You know, James, you say Donald Trump's right. We do have a race problem. Donald Trump also said that the protests and violence in cities around the nation is a sign of more violence to come during the summer. Do you think that we're going to see escalating violence?
I don't think there's any indication out there that we won't see a violent summer because things are the steps that we need to change the climate of what's going on here are is not coming fast enough to deter things from getting worse. And can I just go back to the last caller who said that he wants Black Lives Matter movement to react after they know all the facts?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. It takes so long for the law process to filter through. It takes years sometimes for a person to be found guilty of something and then ultimately convicted because of appeals and things like that. I think the wait time now is over a year. So do you think, you know, people should wait a year before they start to protest after they see something that was so publicly televised all over social media? They should just wait that year or even longer before they even decide to protest? That defeats the purpose of a protest.
You know, some will say, James, though, that you know, after the investigations or the grand juries or the whatevers, that police officers in these high-profile fatal shootings have been found to have not acted improperly. And so then they're saying, hey, the police officer is cleared, and yet the protests continue.
I think you would feel a lot differently if that was your loved one that you saw dying on Facebook. I think a lot of people will feel a lot different if they put themselves in those situations.
Yeah. Actually, we have a number of callers, so let's go to Gary and Merrill next. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good morning. I think the game is up on some of this black issues. If you take the African American Defense League, the New Black Panthers, and the Black Lives Matter group, they're every bit as racist and divisive as any white supremacy group could ever be.
Well, on Face the Nation, former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, said, "When you say Black Lives Matter, that's inherently racist." Respond to that, James.
I don't think the Black Lives Matter movement should be compared to organizations like the KKK. I mean, I don't think they've ever hung anyone. The only thing that they've done is protest what they feel is an unjust system. I think if you consider protesting and standing up for what you believe is right in a case of black men being killed by police, if you think speaking out against that is racist, then that sounds like reverse racism, because if this was happening to white people, I think we'd have a whole different conversation on this.
Yeah, Giuliani went on to say, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, Hispanic Lives Matter, that's anti-American and it's racist. When someone says all lives matter as opposed to Black Lives Matter, what do you say to them?
Yeah, they do. I mean, and Black Lives Matter is not a movement that just says that only their lives matter. What they're saying is that when this happens to other people, justice usually takes place. When it happens to African Americans, it's usually a different outcome or a different story or a different narrative. So they just want to keep the narrative out in the public eye for people so we don't forget about these people who are killed, like the 17-year-old boy that was killed in Chicago that was shot like 15 times by Chicago officers because he supposedly pulled out a knife and he was over 15 feet away from these officers when he was shot and killed. And that video didn't come out until the officer decided to plead guilty. And they knew that this tape was going to come out because the media filed a Freedom of Information Act to get this case out there. So that's why these organizations exist. Because if it wasn't for this, we would forget about these cases. We wouldn't even talk about them because we wouldn't even know about them. They'd just be considered another person shot by police. He must have been doing something wrong.
So Donald Trump, besides saying we have a race problem, is now calling himself the law and order candidate, and he has called for anti-police hostility to end. What's your response to that?
You know, how is he going to do that? I mean, like I said, there's the only way that we could get, you know, this anti-hostility or what's believed to be anti-police venom to end is to have both sides at the table and to have a more inclusive board and to have absolute transparency when it comes to police shootings, when it comes to how these police are being reviewed, when it comes to the entire process. Right now, there's not clear transparency, and a lot of people feel like they're left in the dark.
Yeah. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said that President Obama has fueled anger toward the American police officer. Do you agree or not?
I think Obama has fueled anger because he's not being more direct in what's really at the crux of all of the hatred that exists in this country, and it stems from racism, and he doesn't want to come out on the record and say that race is an overlying problem that exists in this country.
Why do you think he's reluctant to do that?
Because he's black, and if he says that, he knows how it would be taken. So he has to play it safe.
Yeah.
And I disagree with that. I think, you know, when Jeremiah Wright, the only time he's really spoke so passionately about race in this country has been a backlash. I remember when this Jeremiah Wright, when he spoke out on that, it was 2007. I'll never forget. I was sitting in front of the television set in Boston, on a campus of Harvard University, and he gave this passionate speech about race. And I was thinking, man, he's going to be a totally different president because he's going to address these issues head on. He talked about it then. He talked about it a little bit when Trayvon Martin was killed, when he said that Trayvon Martin could have been his son, and he caught backlash on that. But he's really, other than those two times, I really can't remember any time where, you know, my president or our president of the United States has really taken on race head on and addressed it. And that's why I say, you know, that's why I wrote a piece not too long ago calling him the most dissed president in the country ever. Because even though he's taken all the arrows, he's taken all the abuse from whites and blacks, and he's been called every name under the sun and talked about because of his race, he still refuses to talk about race being one of these issues in this country, the elephant in the room that we just don't want to talk about. We could say the Black Lives Matter movement is racist, but the president of the United States can't talk about race in this country and feel comfortable about it? I have a problem with that.
Let's go to Mary Jo in Milwaukee now. Hi, Mary Jo. Mary Jo, are you there? Well, I don't know what happened to Mary Jo, but Mary Jo wanted to say more blacks should become police officers. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. More Hispanics should become police officers and more women, too. But police departments across this country have a hard time attracting people to the force. And they need to do a better recruitment job to do this, to close the gap. But we all know diversity makes a big difference in everything. It makes a big difference in journalism. It makes a big difference in police officers. It makes a big difference in just about everything. A diverse platform is the best way to go.
Yeah. So as we are wrapping up, what else needs to change for there to be progress to ease the tension?
To ease the tension, short term, I think the Black Lives Matter movement must continue, must keep the pressure on. I think Democrats and liberal politicians and progressive politicians need to keep the pressure on to push for citizen review boards and have participants from the public and push for transparency as well. So those things need to happen short term. Long term, I think, a lot of it starts in the home. A lot of it starts in our neighborhood. Neighborhoods have to be given a foundation to be stronger. And you can't police your way to safety. The only way that you could get some of these neighborhoods stable again is to bring back livable wage jobs and all these other things that people refuse to talk about.
We have time for a quick comment from Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Half of the articles of the Constitution were put there by the founding fathers to keep the policemen to behave themselves. And my condolences to everybody who's been killed. But we have to realize the Black community did not come out and vote consistently. You've got to go to the polls every single election. They only come out in the presidential election. You've got to vote, 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 and you'll get the review boards, and you'll get the oversight of what the police department and everybody working together.
Thanks, Tom. What do you think about that, James?
Well, everybody needs to vote. It's not just Black people not voting. I mean, I think voting across the country is around, like, just a little bit over 55%. So that means, like, 45% of the people who could participate in the process are not.
Yeah. In our final minute, are you hopeful we'll see positive changes?
If I was a betting man, I would say it's 50-50. I'm still on the fence. I think, you know, more needs to be done, more communication needs to be done, but the way that the lines are being drawn and people are digging into sand, I don't know if there's going to be any progress. I think we're going to be in the same situation maybe a month, 2, 5, 6 months, or a year from now. We'd be talking about the same thing because nothing will change.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us about this. James Causey, columnist and blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His latest pieces include Being Black in America is Stressful and Donald Trump's Right, We Do Have a Race Problem. Thank you to producers Brianne Shasso and Nyasia Ellison. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow during our big question, we're going to talk about the 5-year anniversary of the concealed carry law in Wisconsin. Has it been good for Wisconsin or not? That's the big question tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.